Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Commissioners, the clerk circulated the minutes from April 18th, 2023. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
Make a motion we approve the minutes. Second that.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes from April 18th, 2023, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to welcome up our benefit providers to update us on where we are in terms of renewal. So, good morning, Nova, and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Give it a 10% discount.
He's so cute, isn't he?
That didn't happen.
Okay, we will begin with this packet. We will not run through all of it. Don't worry. We will just summarize some of the key discussion points that are most critical. And we'll go from there. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and dive in here. Overall, you could see on this first page in from the cover page, you can see the number of higher claimant individuals that exist on the plan this year. It falls mostly in line, similarly to other years. We have a few individuals who have exceeded that $35,000 specific level. However, keep in mind that you do have the $100,000 aggregating specific, which does apply. So no, bottom line, I would say no really, really large claims that would be covered by the stop loss, which is a good thing. That's going to be viewed favorably. The other thing that I would bring up, if you see individual number 5 on that line item and individual number 10, those are two individuals who have lasers or higher specific deductibles based on previously known conditions that are going on there. The good news on that is, well, you can see the one individual, number 5, will probably line up right at about that $70,000 benchmark at the end of the year. So that's very likely. Individual number 10, you can see they've only incurred so far this year $18,000, and that higher specific deductible was $70,000. So that's really good news as well. If you recall, we've talked about this in the past, but with laser risk, there's an option to either build that into the fixed costs or break that out and just say, hey, we'll pay it as a claim if it comes down to it. And more times than not, the latter option, paying it as a claim if it comes down to it, pays off for you guys, because either the individuals are going to be getting better or, that may not be the case and the situation will terminate. But at any rate, it's worked well for you this year. We'll go in a few additional pages here. So if you look at, if you go in, to the third or fourth page in, there's a report that's called Aggregate Stop Loss Report at the top, right under Johnson County Employees. And if you see that Aggregate Stop Loss Report, this is a good indicator of how you guys are running overall from a claims perspective. I guess a few highlights that I would point out on that is if you look at December through February, if you look at AF billing eligible claims, if you look at that column, you can see you had a bit of a claims run in that time period, and then it trended back down nicely in March, and it was really running really well before that as well, I would say. But overall, you guys have done quite well this year. When the carriers set those rates, they anticipate that you're going to run between 75 and 80%. And to be at 65%, which is where you're at right now, if you look at that percentage down at the very bottom of the sheet, bottom center, 65.46%, that is viewed favorably by the carrier markets. And that's one of the components that they look at, when when evaluating the renewal stats and performance. They take individual claimants, new situations that might be arising, and they project all of that forward in terms of from an underwriting perspective. Any questions on that so far? Okay, if you look at the, it's all attached here, but if you look at this account-specific reporting, this next section here, and look at the first page on that, to give you an overview on that, you can see on the membership side, we've grown just a little bit in terms of the number of contracts and the number of members, 5% on the contracts, 2% on the members. From an institutional claims perspective, and these are your hospital claims, you've actually decreased. It's a great thing to see. Those are going to be, generally speaking, the largest claims that are out there. And you can see the claims from a utilization perspective are down 6%. Charges are down 6%. Payments are way down. So there have been some additional really nice discounts that Blue Cross Blue Shield was able to achieve this year on your claims. So those are down 53% overall. Professional services, so those are going to be the doctor's office visits. Occasionally they'll lump in some outpatient claims on that as well. Services are down 1%, charges down 10%, payment overall. So once again, the cocktail of claims there, up 7%. So you can see what that looks like. And then prescription drugs, that is something we'll be talking more about. I know we've talked about that in the past. It continues to be something that that will continue to increase. We have some solutions, some point solutions that we've worked on with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Wyoming, and they are in the process of implementing. They've kind of beta implemented this with a few groups. We'll be recommending that you guys implement some of these programs as well that can bring down the cost significantly from some of those specialty drugs that are out there. Those are the highest cost drugs, the TB drugs, I always call them, that are out there, and we can get those costs down. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Okay. Johnson County employees cost savings on the next page. Total charges, if you look at the current period, which is July 1 of 22 through basically the end of December, because these reports come out quarterly, we don't yet have the Q1 data. But you can see that that data shows 1.2 million, and you were almost neck and neck with total charges last or prior period at 1.214. The difference is in the payments. You can see in the current period you're at 476,000. Prior period was 607,000, and so your total cost savings are up a little over 100,000 from where they were last year at this time. Most of that has to do with coordination of benefits on those claims. So if there are other insurances that can be involved and can cover some of that load and some of that cost, we will have your administrator do whatever they can to achieve those additional dollars outside of the plan costs. And it's gone very well this year. You can see 164,000 this year versus 77,000 last year. We also did have some more utilization by the employees overall. And so there was some additional deductible utilization there from 35,000 last year to 50,000 this year. And then coinsurance and copay amounts are pretty negligible on that. I don't think anything, any anomalies there that we need to run through. The next page is your enrollment summary. I'm not going to spend any time on that. You saw some increase in enrollment. Nothing significant from that perspective. If you look at the following page here, the Johnson County Employee Catastrophic Claims listing, you can see your top claimants listed on here. And you can see the primary diagnosis, and one of those has to do with Humira. One of those is another prescription drug, Otezla. We have a cancer condition, a tumor condition, and an organ disorder condition that are out there. I would say, as you can imagine, most of these are going to be ongoing to a certain extent, but nothing major. Once again, nothing catastrophic that they're expecting. They're not expecting a major uptick in claims from that perspective. Diana, do you want to talk just briefly about the prescription drugs and what we're looking at there?
Yeah, so we've been overlaying what's called an alternative funding model, and the company is called Paid Health. And Paid Health has gone in and we kind of joke and call it dark money, but they've been very successful in a lot of our other clients to go back in, look at funding models where we could have the employees either become eligible for a coupon program, which they can now currently, but also to go back to see if they qualify for a funding model that allows us to go in and get grant money, money that was set aside on the pharmaceutical side many years ago when the Affordable Care Act came into play and money was negotiated on the backside with pharma to let them open that up. In doing that, it allows us to target billions of dollars that we've been leaving on the table. And in the last couple of years, companies have really been more successful. Ryan and I have a group in Wyoming that we saved $700,000 with the very first year that we rolled it out. And I have a city that we just are in the process of going live with them with it as well. And they're projected to have a gross savings of about $707,000. We think we might be able to go in and target some of those high-risk drugs and reroute how we're purchasing those to see if we could qualify for it. And if we do, we'll ask Paid Health to do some analysis on it to give us a pretty good idea of it and then turn around and come back to you guys to get the yay or nay if you want us to overlay that program. We do think it could, we might be able to capture and be able to knock some of our specialty costs down close to a half to a third, which would be significant. So we'll keep you posted on that. We've been rolling, we did a handful of groups that we rolled out on 1-1, and then we have another handful that we've rolled out for a 7-1. You guys have not been impacted as severely as others have, but we'd still like to be able to maybe give consideration to that. We'd have to do notification of the employees 90 days out from 1-1. So it would be something that we talk about in the next couple of months, make a decision on, and then we would plan on rolling that out on a 1-1 if you choose to do it. So,
any questions on that? Okay. All right. Briefly here, I just wanted to cover your institutional claims. I'm not going to go through, like I said, the rest of the packet here. We can do that at another time, or if you guys want to look at that on the side, no standouts of significance on that. But from an institutional perspective, you can see your inpatient and outpatient are broken out on this page. So your inpatient, you're down overall under 134% on those claims. Your outpatient is up slightly at 3%. If you look at the outpatient, most of that is in surgical. Some of that is in physical therapy, but the lion's share of the dollars there are going to be in surgeries. And that's great. The more surgeries that we can get on an outpatient basis instead of inpatient, it's going to be much less expensive. So it's good to see the drive from that direction. On that, any other questions on these reports or things that you would like to run through before we touch on the renewal? Okay. Okay, one other thing we did want to bring up today was, as you may have heard in the news, that from a Fed perspective, they have stated the end of the public health emergency pertaining to COVID. That does impact your plan to a certain extent. We will get additional details over to you, Jackie. On that in terms of what that means. But the long and short of it is that diagnostic testing for COVID-19 can now be shared and lumped in with the other costs. It doesn't need to be paid for at 100%. It can be subject to deductibles and co-insurances and whatnot from that perspective. The other, I would say, probably most significant change is that COBRA cannot be elected to a certain extent indefinitely as it was. Somebody can't, you know, come back 6 months later and elect COBRA. COBRA elections will need to take place during that initial primary window. And like I said, we'll get additional information to you guys on that that you can disseminate and share with employees. But that's obviously good news from that perspective. Okay, let's talk renewal here. And we'll run through that. And apologies, we talk about this every year. Trying to get these a little bit larger. I do my best. Sorry about that. I guess the good news is, even though the font is small, the good news is overall, if you take a look at the revised renewal column, you can see the initial renewal column. Actually, I'll touch on that briefly. So if you look at row A, that's an important row. Row D, those are probably the two most important columns there. Row A, your fixed costs. Initially, we're going up 9.7% with the incumbent carrier. And row D, overall increase of only 1.9%, which is really nice. I'll just tell you where the market is right now. They're anywhere from 7 to 10.5, 11 points percent on average increases. So the standard group, average group, is going to be looking at probably, I would say, that 8.5, 9% is what they can expect. If you look at the revised renewal that we continue to work down with your current stop-loss carrier and third-party administrator, you can see that brought your fixed costs all the way down to negative 0.8%, so just about negative 1% on the fixed costs. It brought your expected costs on the claims down to negative 4.8% and an overall renewal of negative 2.3%. So typically that would be the quote that we would recommend. We did want to bring up, and I know we bring this up about every other year, but just something to be aware of or cognizant of. As you know, for years now, many, many years now, you've been on your contract types. If you look at the contract terms section, that upper box, you can see where it says, does everybody see where it says contract type specific and contract type aggregate? So on your specific, you're on a 24-12. On your aggregate, you've always been on a 12-12. That's fine if you want to continue to chart that course. We do provide the option each year for you to bump up and mature that contract, so to speak, to a 24-12. What that means, just clarifying that, anything incurred in the past 12 months needs to be paid in the 12-month period. So if it's incurred in the contract period, it needs to be paid in the contract period. By bumping that out to a 24-12, it allows run-in of an additional 12 months. So anything from this past plan year can run in and apply if it's not a spec claim, right? If it's below that $35,000 threshold, it can apply to the current or new year contract year. So it's a more robust contract. It's an option for you to have. Some groups opt to stay with the 12-12 as you have in past years. Some groups don't have aggregate coverage. It's not a requirement. I always call it good sleep at night insurance. It's nice to have. But you can see that option there. You can see the impacts of that, and I'll just walk you through that. It is option one under, once again, same stop-loss carrier, same MGU, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. It doesn't have much of any impact on your fixed costs. Your fixed costs would still be going down just slightly. It would be half a percentage point decrease on the fixed costs. Where you see the impact and the difference is going to be on your maximum cost. It's on your attachment point is where that difference ends up being most impactful. And so overall, your claims risk would go up. They would raise that ceiling on the claims risk. And overall, you would be looking at a 7.2% increase instead of a negative 2.3% increase. Now, the question being, how much of that exposure would you actually realize? In the vast majority of years, none of it. You would have had, you know, based on our tenure, our relationship with you guys, there would have been 1 year where that could have impacted you a little bit. But most years that would have had truly no impact whatsoever, because it's just the claims cap threshold. And generally you're running in that you know, 75-80% or less of that. So it just wouldn't impact you. An option that's out there. But regardless, our recommendation would be to renew with the incumbent carrier. We think they've done right by you guys. We think it's you know, how often, if you're comparing apples to apples, do you have a decrease? We've done it a few years now, but generally it's pretty rare to have that. So, any questions for us on the stop loss, on the renewal? We did hold Blue Cross. We were able to hold their rates flat as well this year. So that's good news as well. I guess one other thing, one other thing I will bring up to you, option three. I just wanted to point out, you know, if anybody is asking, well, why aren't you recommending option three? Because overall, they are coming in at a decrease at -4.7%. But look at their fixed costs on row A. Their fixed costs are coming in at a 10.5% increase. And so between the two, obviously, because, you know, in the level of importance, you're always going to place those fixed costs because you pay those regardless. Up top, primary importance, your claims. Most often, you're not going to hit 100% on those claims, so those are going to be secondary in consideration. So, okay, questions?
Once again, you guys are in your keep. This is reassuring as we walk into budget time. I was prepared that you were going to come and tell us that we were going to have a 10 or 15% increase on our health insurance, so this... this is very, very good news.
Great. It's great. Well, we aim to please, and anyway, glad to see that our underwriting department, we'll pass that along to them. They'll be happy to hear the kudos on that. There is no formal disclosure that needs to take place. If you stay with the incumbent, we will notify them via email today, and then we are off to the races for next year. So,
one of the items that we had visited with you in the past, and I know our clerk is in the process of standing up her benefit committee, but there have been some discussion on potentially some cost savings we could see through wellness. Mm-hmm. Is that still an option, and that's stuff that we can send over her way as she's looking at how the employee compensation package is built?
Absolutely. So we can look at other vendors. Blue Cross has finally partnered in and taken on a little responsibility for the first time on wellness. So we'd like to toss them in on the mix. Do you guys want to look at a couple of different vendors on wellness, or what's your thought?
And Bert, what's your preference?
I think let's take a look at a couple of different vendors.
Okay.
See what's out there, see what the options are, see what the cost of it is.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a couple of options we think would work well, especially up here in Wyoming. So we'll bring those to the table.
Okay. Thank you. And Jackie, since I know that you know Julie and Margie over in Fremont County, mm-hmm. give one of them a call and chat a little bit on their wellness program.
Okay.
I think it has been one of the most successful and is completely hybrid, and they've done the entire thing on their own. And it definitely made a big impact on their plan cost. And they've been running that for, I'm going to say, 12 years maybe?
Thank you for that information.
Yeah, and we back up some of it with formulary support through Blue Cross on the back side as well. So,
commissioners, questions for Nova on numbers?
How many dollars does it change her program for the year?
If you go with the 2412 on the ag, it changes it less than $2,000 on the fixed cost.
And what is the fixed cost?
So, let's see. So it changes our fixed cost on that from $10,669 on the aggregate to $12,383. And because we're picking up claims liability, we see that more on the attachment point. but it's more of a soft dollar, right? It depends on how we run, on what we would actually have for liability on it. It could have very little impact on it, or we could hit it where we see a 5-point impact or 7-point would be the max, but it'd be a rare time that that would happen.
And if that's something that, if you want to have, if you have any additional questions on that, you can let us know. You don't need to let us know on that today. Really, we just need to know, hey, you want to roll forward with the incumbent? And then we can talk about the contracts, you know, at some point in the next week or so, I would say. But
yeah.
Well, I'll work with the clerk on that since this is her first time around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, everyone. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. It is tight there. All right. Commissioners, under your blue tab, there is a Forest Service grant. So I'd like to welcome up our sheriff for an overview of the modification to this grant agreement.
Good morning. So I won't take too much of your time. It's the same as last year. We're doing the 2010 or 2040 for wages, and the other $1,960 are. Last year we ordered tires with that money, which is just a little over 2 cents, $800 for a set of tires. So we anticipate that there might be more money next year. Kind of heard that there might be. If there is, we're going to take advantage of that because that's a pretty good program for us. Any questions?
And Sheriff Umba, I ask you to kind of dive a little bit into this, just what the grant is and what you use it for the benefit of our new commissioner and our clerk, because they've not seen this before. So if you can talk about how long you've been working with the Forest Service for this enhanced patrol and what you're able to use the dollars for.
Okay, so we've been doing it for a while. We used to do the DUI enforcement that became pretty heavily regulated, and it gave a quota for stops and DUIs, those types of things. We did those, but we didn't agree with the quota part. So we jumped in with Forest Service. The Forest Service has basically pays our deputies to patrol any Forest Service route. And then what we don't use on wages, which is the $1,960, we can use it for just about anything, but we utilize it for tires. So we take that 2 cents out of our budget and use this for our tires, and then left over are things like, you know, we did med kits, binoculars, coats. There's quite a few things that we had used it for in the past, but mainly that line item goes to tires. So if there's any leftover, then we would use it for that. But it gets, I know the undersheriff did his, or started on his time yesterday in the Forest Service, so our guys, they look forward to going up there and patrolling the Forest Service road. So, and as summer, as we go into summer, that mountain's pretty busy. So, yeah, that's kind of that in a nutshell. If you guys got any questions, Jeff?
Well, I've kind of talked a little bit about it.
Yeah. So we're hoping that we get some more money for that, and we'll take advantage of that if it does. So the MOU or the grant just needs to be signed, and we're ready to go.
Mr. Lee, your office has had a chance to review this.
Mr. Grove had a look at it. He had no issues.
Okay. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
1 second.
There is a motion and a second to approve the Forest Service grant. Is there any discussion or public comment? Public comment? Public comment. Hearing none. Commissioners, any final discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the Forest Service grant in the amount of $4,000, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Any other questions?
No. Again, as always, Rod, thanks to your outfit for doing such a great job. I know the drug catches that you've been making are pretty high profile, but I know you guys have also been working on some child sex issues and some other things, so we appreciate your work on that.
We're busy. PD has a lot to do with it as well. So, yeah. Thank you, and have a good day, people.
Thanks. Next up, I'd like to welcome Road and Bridge Department to give kind of an overview of Mikesell's Pots as we go into their busy season. Good morning, Scott and Ashley.
Good morning. I'm just going to start out with a little bit of a overview of the Mikesell Pots. There was a lot of activity out there in the 1970s. The Texaco and Reynolds Oil Company of what they were going to do. And at that time, the Mikesell Pots, the Mikesell and the Potts family owned the Lakeview Lodge. It was actually up at the monument. Well, of course, as those water levels were going to rise, that was bought out. And that's how the Mikesell Pots came up. But that family, when they dealt with Texaco, they donated 33 acres there so that the general public would always have access, free access to Lake Desmet for recreation and so forth. So that's how that kind of come about. We've grown to, there's actually about 90 acres there that we entail now that the recreation area is in. We took over the Mikesell Pots in 2014-15. At that time, it was about a $28,000 budget. The fees were about $13,200 that was taken in. Since then, of course, it's grown tremendously. We're up to about 70 campsites. We've done several new rest rooms. We improved the swim beach. We've had some really, really great, outstanding partners out there. I can't say nothing about good the Buffalo Lions Club that has been out there for 35, 40 years plus, helping with things and so forth out there. Big partner out there now is Blakeman Propane. They've helped us with a bunch of stuff out there and so forth and continue to. They're the ones that help get the concrete poured around the Lions Club there and got big plans that we've actually built an area out there with a volleyball court, and they'll actually put in horseshoe pits and stuff this summer. So that's continuing to grow there. Like I said, I can't say enough about those partners that help us with those kinds of things. And we have some others that want to step up and help us in sharing some costs with projects and stuff out there. We've used some rec grants for some of that funding and so forth out there. The biggest thing that's kind of come up lately is we get phone calls about people wanting to, for their loved ones, do a memorial out there. Usually it's a tree or something like that. We try to keep that pretty simple. I know the Odie Govan family, what I've done with them is they've just went and bought trees and we planted them. That's one of my biggest deals out there is probably our tree program. We got with the Soil Conservation Service several years ago, and they kind of took some soil samples and just decided what trees would be best to be planted out there as far as, you know, the wildlife getting into them and so forth. Currently, we've planted over 160 trees out there. So, and if you go out there and you drive through there, if you really get to look and you can really see the difference in the ages of the trees, and that's been a very, very successful part of that. So in 2017-18, we actually hired a consultant service to come in and kind of help us with that, to look at the whole area. You know, so we kind of had some guidelines to which way to move, what we were looking to do with the facility and so forth out there. And basically, after that consultant looked at it stuff, I mean, that's one of those places that it's endless what you could do out there, what you actually wanted to make it in. We've always tried to keep it kind of as a lower keyed rec area that's really geared towards the local people of Johnson County and Wyoming. And the reason for that, there's just a lot of other things that come along with that. When you start providing water for the public, then there's DEQ permits and regulations and stuff that goes in. Last summer, we actually drilled a couple new wells. We drilled one over by the maintenance building that could be actually looked for potable water. The other one was drilled over on the south side that currently we just, That's got a solar pump and stuff, and we're using that to water trees and so forth there. So, yeah, exciting things out there. I mean, it's quite, for me, it's been Road and Bridge Crew has taken a lot of pride into what we've gotten done out there. And if you can remember back a few years what it was like and so forth, it's we've made great, great strides out there, and it seems like we grow a little bit every year. So I'll kind of let Ashley kind of touch on kind of where we're at and the stats and stuff there.
So fees out at the Meixel Pots right now is $15 for a campsite without electricity. An electrical site is $20. In that first graph, I show the breakdown of income. I forgot a column and did not update the sales tax. It's actually 5%. Lodging is 5%. So a non-electrical site, the net income comes in at $13.50 to the county, whereas the electricals come in at $18. We also offer multi-day passes for Johnson County residents. You have to provide proof that you are a Johnson County resident in order to get one. They are for 7 and 14 days, and they have to be used consecutively. We initially did it where you could use one here and four there or whatever, and it was a nightmare. Oh my gosh. So last year, Scott and I said, no, you have to use them all at once. And they are very, very popular. One is for you can get them electrical or non-electrical. But last year, the camp fees for this past summer that just ended, we came in around $70,797.98 total. That's gross. So net would be $63,402. And a lot of that went to the multi-day passes. We sold 21 non-electrical multi-day passes compared to 4 the year before, and 7 14-dayers and 6 compared to the year before. The non-electrical is much more popular than the electrical. And if they buy a 7-day electrical, they come back and buy a 14-day electrical. Last year we sold 31 total of the multi-day passes compared to 12 the first year. And I've already had somebody in my office yesterday, in fact, wanting to make sure she could buy her multi-day pass for the fishing derby. And then she says, provided the ice goes off the lake, and she trotted out and was going to be back today with her checkbook. So, on average, last year we saw 7,217 people for a total of 4,282 nights. Our nights count was down last year a little over 1,000 compared to 2021. 2021 was interesting, though, because that's the year we all came out of COVID. So everybody wanted to go camping.
And that was unbelievable. I think we touched about $92,000 is what we brought in that year. So that was a really outstanding year.
Yeah, but from 19, we were at 51,000. 20, we were at 60,000. 21 was 74, and then last year was down to about 63. So it kind of peaked and came down. 15% of our campers come from Johnson County this last year. 24% were from Sheridan County, and 12% was from Campbell County, which is interesting because Campbell County has stayed at 12% all the way through from 2020 forward. That's the one we get the most calls on, is there are Gillette people everywhere. And when you look at the numbers, they're quite a bit lower than everybody else.
It just seemed like
there's more of them. It must, yeah. 38% of our campers come from out of state. They're what is it what you call them?
I call them the low impact campers because they roll in. They're the ones that pull up to the bulletin board. They read the rules. They go down, they find their site, and they pay. And usually they stay a day. Sometimes a lot of times you'll see, well, they'll pay for a day and they like it so much, they buy another day. Yeah. And we see a lot of those anymore that'll roll in this early part of the season. Then September, we see a lot of them back. Okay. That'll be wherever they're traveling, they usually come back through. But that is one thing that we've really seen a gain on, is the amount of people that have found us, I guess is the way to put that.
And it's funny because we track their license plate when they come in. And so you'll get, if you go back and you do the search, you'll see them in there 2 or 3 times where they're passing back and forth across the country. So our top 5 counties are obviously Sheridan, Johnson, and Campbell County. We came in at number 2, and followed by Natrona and Crook County. I think Blakeman's can be attributed for a lot of the Crook County propane. They come several times a year, their whole bunch. They have one weekend, but it's amazing how many of those guys come back and forth for weekends. We've had every county except for Sweetwater and UNITA. I always say that wrong, so that's probably, sorry. Our top five states are Montana, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and South Dakota. And this last year we saw every state except for Connecticut, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Washington, D.C. Last year was the first year we haven't had anybody from Mexico, was one thing I noticed. Canada, France, Italy, Spain, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Germany. Looking at this year, we didn't have anything for that first quarter, but for the second quarter, we've had some internationals already, and I think we have $90, and it's just been with the winter, it's been a slow time, and so I've actually started building a spreadsheet to track it on a fiscal basis to see how it compares for our fiscal year, so this next year I'm interested to see how it breaks out. But it is fun to see the people, and there's a lot of them that are coming back. We've been getting calls all year. Hey, we were there before. Is it still first come, first serve? But I want to have my wedding reception there. Can I book the whole place? No. There's been some interesting talks that, well, all of that money goes to the lake stop up on the hill. No, no, it doesn't. And that they're going to start charging gate admission. No, no, they're not. So the rumors do fly. But.
You know, and that's something that there are still some family members of the Potts and the Mike Sell family that are around, and that's one thing. When that land was donated, it was supposed to be for free. You know, we've had conversations and stuff there. Of course, we don't charge a day use or anything like that. What we're charging for is the amenities and the upgrades and stuff we did. I mean, you have to pay for, if you want a nice facility, you have to have restrooms, and you have to be able to pay to maintain them and stuff. The one thing about the Michael Potts is our average budget is around about that $38,000 to $40,000 a year. As you can see, we take in more than that. Those dollars, we do have an account we set aside. There's roughly about $70,000 in there for future projects. So it's nice to have that little nest egg there. So when you get somebody that comes to you that wants to help out with a project or so forth, that you got those opportunities. So
after the last one, we were called and asked about doing the memorials here in the last month. And so I contacted the funeral homes and said, you know, if you have somebody looking for a memorial, we would sure like to, Michael Potts, would you like to be on the list? And so we've been added to some funeral homes' list. And there is the one coming in from the funeral to let for a gentleman whose mom lives right there by the lake.
And I kind of think is what we're kind of going to kind of do with that as it comes in and so forth is when you first go through the gate, there's a monument there for a Boy Scout that drowned in the lake years ago, and I think that road along there is where we'll start putting the memorial trees. I don't think we're not going to get into, you know, putting plaques or anything like that up. I mean, if you want to plant a memorial tree, we'll just have a memorial tree row there, and that's kind of how we'll handle that. But this year, basically, we'll be getting our trees here pretty soon. We've been doing some electrical upgrades as far as lighting and so forth like that, and that's kind of where we're at right now. So it is the season.
Well, I'd like to thank you for all the excellent work you've done out there, Scott.
Well, thank you.
I don't think that you get near enough credit for all that you put into that.
Well, thank you. You know, and I want to stress something too is you know, it's to look at numbers and stuff. What makes that work and why is we've been so successful out there is if you started looking at what my time, Ashley's time, as far as administrating it, and then the time that the road and bridge guys put in out there, we usually spend a couple weeks out there on different projects and stuff. It would definitely paint a little bit different picture, but it's very nice to be able to, like I said, we keep it to where we're managing it, and it's not a cost to the county, basically. So
it's fun to have people call and say, or write on the envelopes, we were here 3 years ago, we can't believe the change now.
You know, and probably one of our
big measure.
Probably one of our biggest questions is why we don't do reservations. And the biggest reason why we don't is you have to manage it. And that just, I mean, we don't have the staff. We've tried to keep the staff small and keep it. But like I said, that study does, I mean, it, that piece of, if that was out in the private hands, what you could do there would be unbelievable, what you could turn that into. So as we go along, I guess that's kind of I've always kind of just held, we take care of what we have and improve it as we can and not be out there building a monster that's going to cost us. So.
And it's only cash or check. And quarters.
Commissioners, any questions? And I thought this was important as we head into our summer season and also give them an opportunity to share with the public just who's visiting out there and some background on that. So any questions for
Scott Rashley? It was very interesting to have some of these numbers on here because you are kind of thinking some other counties are here more than others.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yep. Yeah, it's good data to have, and it helps us quite a bit. You know, as we go after those grant dollars and stuff, when you have the data, that's how you get those dollars. So,
good job. So.
Nope. Well, thank you.
Sure. There is you had received a letter from the JCTA returning their money, so we do need to revert that. So. There is a motion that's typed out for you.
I'll make a motion to approve the money turned back by the Johnson County Tourism Association. Based on the Johnson County Tourism Association dated April 19, 2023, I move to rescind the 11% allocation to the JCTA and revert the funds to 1%. What's that?
Unencumbered.
Unencumbered. Tongue stripping up. Funds. This set the overall approval funding of $157,979.99. The committee recommendation and $946,437 for the county allocations for the total of $1,104,231.99.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to rescind the amount to the JCTA. Return that to the unencumbered funds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I do want to publicly tell you guys, thank you for being good stewards of that money. That's
absolutely
very good.
All right. We also had, there was a three-way tie for the alternate of the Commissioner's Scholarship for Buffalo High School, and so the commissioner's assistant went back and asked everyone to retabulate, and so looking at that, it looks like Karina Massey would be the first alternate for Buffalo High School. Is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second to name Karina Massey the alternate for the Buffalo County Commissioner Scholarship. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Ruby, I understand you have something regarding the drug court grant. I do not have a copy, so I'm going to turn the proceedings over to you.
So every year we do a contract with the state, the Department of Health, who provides money to us so we can continue to operate our drug court program. For our alternative treatment court program. This year we ended up getting additional funds from them. The total amount that we are being awarded this year is $63,056.66, which is broken down as $56,127.96 for basically our operations running the program. $1,703.70 for drug testing supplies and testing services, and an additional $5,225 to be used for special projects. They're listed in Exhibit A. one of those special projects that we've done in the past, we probably will do again, is mental health provider for Johnson County. Probably about 3 or 4 years ago, we noticed that we were addressing the addiction issues that people were having. We were not addressing the criminogenic thinking. And so they started to incorporate thinking for a change into the program to help people kind of change the way they're thinking and how they approach their addiction and those sorts of things. And we found that that's been pretty successful. And so that was a program that we piloted a couple years ago and has been very successful. We've continued it on. And so we've continually, from the state, received funding to be able to provide that program. So that's in addition to the normal counseling that we do and the normal operation of the drug court. And so this is the same contract we've had in years past. The only thing that changes from year to year is the amount. And we just need to get it done so that I can then contract with BOA and get all that stuff in place. So if I can hint to you, Mr. Chairman, and I'd ask for your signature. Or I'll answer any questions.
Commissioners, do you have questions for Mr. Ruby? And I realize you didn't have a chance to review this ahead of time, but it looks like, again, as Mr. Ruby said, total allocation of $63,056.66. Tucker, any changes in the contract with the state? I know we've been dealing with them on the federal level as they've...
Not any real noticeable changes. Last year we had a change with them that they actually underfunded the program, and so then we had to recoup some money through COVID funds. And that was not an issue that we did. That was an issue on their level that we had to sort of do an end around and fix. This year, it's the same contract we've had in the past. It's just a different number. It's the same one we have every year. The way I look at it is as I reviewed the contract, from a legal standpoint, it looked okay to me. There was not any issues. And then I had a conversation with Mark Wilson, who is our director for the program, and there's various deliverables that we have to do, various things that we are supposed to do pursuant to the contract. I verified with him that all those things are things we can do and that we have been doing in the past. He said, yes, they are. And so I don't have any reason to think that this is any different than we've had in the years past and that we can't complete and comply with all the terms that they've set out.
You were satisfied with the way this program's running since you made the change?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I mean, there's always some growing pains. There are always some issues of trying to figure out different things. But as far as the program and the success we're having, I think it's good. Addiction's a hard issue. It is trying to deal with that and deal with relapse and those sorts of things. But we run a good program. There's a couple people right now that are facing cases. One thing that is kind of exciting is Mark's been really proactive with folks that are on court order testing and things like that, and he'll have a conversation with them about, hey, there's the drug court program if you'd like to be involved in that. And we have, in the last about 3 or 4 months, and we have two presently that have said, well, we want to be in the drug court program. We said, well, your case has to resolve first. We have to have a plea agreement or whatever it is for you to move in. But that's a positive sign in my mind, because we have folks that are wanting to deal with their addiction. They may have other, obviously, you go in the drug court, maybe you'll sidestep a little bit more punishment and that sort of stuff. But they may have other alternative reasons for wanting to be in the program. But the program has proven that it is successful, that if people will apply the things they learn, that they can stay sober, that they can stay away from those harmful drugs. As we see an increase in the state of opioids, of methamphetamine, of fentanyl, of drugs that are extremely serious, extremely dangerous, and also extremely addictive, it's drug court programs like this that I think are important to continue to go, because those sorts of drugs are very hard to kick, and people need a lot of support and a lot of treatment to be able to get past those things. And so this is a really good tool that we get to use in Johnson County. And we're one of the fewer small counties in the state that actually has a drug court program. A lot of the other counties, they just, like everything else in the state, they do economies of scale, and we don't have enough folks to justify the costs oftentimes. But they raised the amount that they gave us this year quite significantly based on the progress that we've made. And so I think the program is speaking for itself as far as being a going concern. And I hope to have it for as long as we can. You know, one concern we have is Judge Jarvis, who's the judge for the program, has been the judge for a long time. I think he's considering the idea of maybe retiring. And he hasn't said officially that that's the thought, but he's getting to the age where that makes sense in a lot of ways. And so I think he's at least considering that. And so there's some plans that have to be made on our side about how do we move forward. And he can potentially retire as a magistrate judge and still be the judge for our program as well. And so there's some ways to work around that because he cares about the program, wants to be a part of it. And one thing I would say to the VOA, who has taken over Northern, because they're a bigger organization, because they have more resources, we're able to have peer specialists, we're able to have a lot more interaction with our people than we were able to do with Northern, because they had for a long time real difficulty being able to hire people in to cover the positions they had. It's pretty neat to see some of the folks that are participating as peer specialists are folks that we have previously prosecuted and have gotten a hold of their sobriety and are going to Celebrate Recovery, which is a great program that is not part of what we do, but is a huge help, and they do some great work. And a lot of the people that are involved in that are folks that if you told me we're going to be involved on the helping side, you know, 5 years ago, I would have said that's crazy. And so there's some really positive things in Johnson County and some really good folks doing some great things there. And so they deserve a lot of credit. And VOA has really started to employ a lot of those people that are making positive changes in their lives. And so that's pretty exciting to see. Anything else?
Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Move to approve the
Wyoming Department of Health Behavioral Health Division contract the Alternative Treatment Court Program.
Move to approve. So moved. Let's cool that one out.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Discussion or public comment? Hearing none. Commissioners, any final deliberations?
No.
Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the contract in the amount of $56.66, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, did you have additional business that the commissioners needed to review in terms of contracts?
No.
Okay.
Not today.
All right. Madam Clerk, looks like you have a catering permit.
This is the first I've... Oh, no. This is just permission to bring their county permit in.
Okay.
To the city.
All right. So it appears that the Cowboy Saloon is requesting permission from the county to bring their license into the city limits for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation fundraiser at the Bottle Mountain Civic Center on May 4th, 2023. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I would like to make a motion to approve the Cowboy Saloon's application to move the liquor license.
And I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. I do have an addition to the agenda. The emergency management coordinator came in this morning and wanted to brief the commissioners on an item that she's working on. So, Marilyn, come on up. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is... Cyber security incident annex to our county plan. It's in draft form, and I've got to get a copy to Digitech. Because in our IT meeting the other day, I asked if we had a cyber incident annex or plan, and they said basically, yeah, but nobody's probably reviewed it or it hasn't been approved or whatever. So I am required to have a cybersecurity annex in our emergency operation plan. So I just kind of took the bull by the horns and did this draft. It's real basic, fairly broad, and I think probably Digitech might have some other things they want to add to it or subtract, but I'd like you, it's a in draft form, and I'd like you to review it. And then I can get back to you at your next meeting or whenever that might be to see if we can't finalize something that I can put into our emergency operation plan. The emergency operation plan is due to be revised. That's a big project. So I'll start on that, and it'll probably have a little different format look to it. Most of the information would be the same. We try to go over that in our local emergency planning committee meeting. So we'll start trying to get that put together. I know, and I'll try to, a lot of the other counties, their emergency action plans are ready to be revised too, and they're going out and getting contractors, and the I think Sheridan County just had one, and their costs are like $40,000 or more to have a consultant come in and build their plan. I'd like to just try to do it in-house and try to get it done by fall if I can. And that's what I have there. And then I had the commissioners sign the EMPG reimbursement requests. Those total right around $25,000. I'll send those in to Homeland Security and we'll get it. They'll reimburse, because this is the grant that pays for half of the emergency management program, half of the salary and cost to run the office. So we'll get that turned in, and that's all I have if you have questions.
And EMPG is the Emergency Management Preparedness Grant?
Performance grant. Yeah. That's the grant that's 50-50. So county pays 50% of the program and then request reimbursement for the other 50%. And it just goes into Fund 10.
Marilyn, kind of looking as a timeline, DigiTex is going to need to review this. The county attorney's office is going to have to sign off on this. So is it reasonable to think that we can have this on our June 6th agenda for adoption?
I would think so. Right? Just a matter of DigiTech. Because I refer to them as the Johnson County IT Department. And I...
Well, they...
So there may be some verbiage...
It's a managed service agreement for...
Yeah, so there may be some verbiage and more detail. They probably are going to want to put more detail in this. But if they've already got, my understanding is they've already got something drafted, kind of, so it shouldn't take them very long to review it.
So, Mr. Chairman, as soon as Digitech is able to review it, change it how they want, then they can get to our office. We can have a review in a day or two to... If they can get to us by June 4th, and we can be ready for the June 6th meeting to prove the legalities of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead then. If there's not anything else to transact, Madam Clerk, do you have additional business?
I do.
Okay, then we'll go ahead. Commissioners, a move into the vouchers. I know there was a few additions that came across from the clerk's office, so now would be time if you had questions about those. I had actually asked that she pull some vouchers for me to look at. Commissioner Perry, thank you for going over the county's vouchers yesterday in my absence. So if you indulge me just a little bit to look through these that I asked her to pull, and then we can go ahead and adopt them. If that is all right, commissioners, if you have any questions for the clerk on the vouchers that came through yesterday afternoon, please use this time to either ask her to pull them or look through them.
Is that John Deere roller rental? Is that to the fairgrounds thing, or is that?
That is actually one.
Yours?
Yes. Not the engine out of order, so I need to go running.
That they sent him was actually billed, needed to be paid in advance of them writing the service. So we quickly did the check and overnighted it to him so he could get his. He was very, very apologetic, but he just misunderstood the initial email. He thought he would get an invoice after the fact.
Mine, it probably worked.
I wonder if there's two groups doing it. Maybe I'm not getting them today.
That's the new one.
Well, if they don't allow them, they're going to
come down. I think pretty good, like, that they would protect their position. Because he had my mom on and stuff. It was a bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
looked like
Mr. Jones, I think that gives a good amount of dust.
I think I'll visit with the clerk on four of these, but I don't see an issue with paying any of the bills. So, Madam Clerk, it looks like the total is $393,990.82. Is that your figure?
That is the figure that I have.
Okay. Commissioners, what's your pleasure on the vouchers?
Make a motion. Second.
I have a motion for Commissioner Shelley,
seconded
by Commissioner Perry, to go ahead and pay the vouchers in the amount of $393,990.82. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All of those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Not that I'm aware of, so we are at the end of our published agenda. I would welcome public comments.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. Any public comment?
I'm just saying Fran's last name is Mikey, not like Mays or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of entertaining a motion to adjourn, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thanks for me. Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.
See you. Yeah.